Hello, this is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to the Course of Course, episode 31. We haven't been on mic for a couple weeks, so there's stuff we have to talk about.
Yes.
I'm going to jump right in, if you don't mind.
Please do.
I want to talk about a few things that happened in the news in the past week, I guess. One of them happened in my hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio. My undergraduate degree is from the University of Cincinnati. As this story unfolds, a University of Cincinnati policeman made a traffic stop of a black man in 2 mile radius of the university. So it wasn't on campus, it was just off campus apparently. And he had stopped the motorist because he didn't have a front plate on his car. And so when he asked the motorist for his license, the motorist didn't have it. And so the officer said, well, I ran the plates and it's registered to a woman. Whose car is this? And he said, oh, it's my wife's. And so the officer was like, all right, you don't have an ID on you. And he's like, no, I guess I just left it at home. And the officer said, what's that down by your feet? And it was a bottle of gin. It wasn't opened. Mm-hmm. It was a closed bottle of gin. So the officer took it out and he said, okay. And he put it onto the top of the car. And he's continuing to have a conversation with the man in the car. And actually, it was pretty calm, I thought. This was from a body cam. Apparently, police officers in Cincinnati are now required to wear body cameras.
Interesting.
Right. So all this is being recorded in the body cam. The officer is asking questions that to me seemed reasonable. He was basically saying, well, you know, do you have an ID? And the gentleman said, no, I don't. But I also think the gentleman was, you know, pretty forthright.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think
he was calm. He wasn't like high on drugs or something.
So
or drunk or.
So finally, the officer was like, could you step out of your car? And I understand why he would ask that, because the guy didn't have his ID on him. The car was registered to someone in a woman's name. And it may or may not have been true what this man was telling him. The officer just didn't know. And I'm guessing the officer just wanted him to step outside.
Where they could talk better and maybe call the woman or something.
But then things went horribly wrong very, very quickly.
Uh-oh.
So the gentleman in the car had his window rolled down. And so the officer put his hand on the window, on the door with the window open. And he said, can you step out of the car? And the gentleman put the car into gear, like he was going to drive away.
Not into park?
No. Oh. I mean, he was clearly kind of moving forward.
Oh.
It was like a split second, right?
Uh-huh.
So the officer said, stop, stop, took out his gun and shot him in the head.
Wow.
So it's like watching this video of something that seemed pretty routine going so wrong so quickly. The officer's 25 years old. He's being prosecuted for murder.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing, right?
Like, why didn't he shoot the tire of the car? Like,
that's
that
what I said. Or did you really need to pull out your gun on this? You have the plates. You could probably go find him. It just seemed like a very strange and excessive reaction.
Mm-hmm.
What the officer had said to justify the action was that he was being dragged along, like the car was dragging him. But on the body cam, it looked pretty clear he wasn't being dragged. So the reason I'm bringing it up, we talked a while ago on the podcast about stuff that happened in the news, or a woman named Rachel Dolezal, who is passing as an African-American woman for the NAACP, and all the outrage when people found out. And I was saying, like, how long do you have to go through life feeling such shame? I mean, why can't we just forgive people in this massive, crazy planet that which we live on? But it's very easy, I think, for us to get really attached to the infraction that people do, as opposed to, okay, we understand, I forgive you, you're God. It's just harder when stuff just seems so gut-wrenching. And the other thing that happened in the news was this beautiful, majestic lion in Zimbabwe was hunted and killed by what turned out to be an American who had paid, I don't know, $50,000 or something.
A dentist, I saw.
Yeah, to go to Zimbabwe and do one of these, you know, rich people hunting things.
Did he specifically go after this tiger, like he knew it was there?
Well, I think it was a lion, and I got to give him some credit in the fact that he was accountable. Basically said, yes, it was me. He had paid his guides in Zimbabwe X amount of dollars, and apparently it's legal for
50,000.
Yeah, it's legal for them to shoot, you know, big game. I also saw a picture about a month ago of one of the Trump sons with like a leopard or something, same deal. And I know somebody in my past who's a very wealthy man who did the same thing, went to Africa and whatever. So this dentist in America basically said, hey, I did it, but my guides I just went off the guidance that they provided, mm-hmm. and they know what they're doing. And, you know, I did it because it was part of the package or whatever that he paid for. What is later found out is this lion had been a mainstay at this nature preserve, and they had lured it away, and the dentist shot him with a bow and arrow. It turned out it was tagged and collared, and it was clearly a protected lion. I guess the ritual after you shoot big game, you cut the head off. So he cut the head off and he transported it to the United States.
Ew.
Via Delta Airlines. So now there's like this big outrage, you know, it stopped Delta from transporting, you know, wild game, stuff like that. So it's like this whole mess, right?
Yeah.
So it turns out that the dentist basically has had to tell his clientele, you need to go find another dentist because there's so many protests and everything outside of his office. Right.
Yeah.
So it goes back to, I get it is a heinous kind of thing, but it also doesn't exist. This is still make-believe. It's weird having to live in the two worlds of the physical world where we have to deal with like mortgages and car payments and food and stuff like that, and understanding that this doesn't really exist at all.
And that we created it.
And that we created it. But it's like these huge forgiveness lessons on a societal level that I'm fascinated by. And I keep going back to, why can't we just forgive this? Although I don't like the idea of shooting a lion, because lions are amazing and I'm a huge animal lover. I have no idea who this man is. Why am I getting wrapped up in it? It's not my business. But yet it's so easy to be like, oh, I can't, you know what I mean? Like going after somebody and shaming them and finger pointing them just feels so second nature.
It's that media piranha that exploits any detail.
Yeah, and we
kind.
Were talking before about how people of a certain generation in a certain area of the country really like one particular news channel. And therefore, they start mimicking what they're hearing because it's like subtle brainwashing if it's in the background.
Right.
Regardless of what news channel it is. So then
don't
people
watch
start.
The news.
Don't watch the news. I think that's the lesson. Because what's the point? It's not really news. It's just like negative.
Right.
It's just bad news. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talked about like the two worlds, because that's something I've been struggling with and feeling like I can taste heaven or something. Like I want that, of course. And when they talk about it happening in the instant, like in the now, all there is the now. There's no past or future, the now. And it's like, okay, so I should be meditating every now, because in my being with God is when I invite this miracle to happen, and I do feel caught up in the world. And so I've been struggling with that and kind of thinking like I'm not being a very good course student, and I don't feel as connected with my work lessons so much. Although I have been listening to the audiobook a lot, kind of like crack in my head, in the, you know, at the nail salon, at the garden, driving around, and I feel like that keeps me connected.
But I think Gary Renard said in his books that all course students feel like they're not very good course students.
Right. Feeling like it's not going to happen now because I have to go to work. You know, I can't go disappear and move to Oregon or wherever it is I'm going to be and be in a monastery. Like I have to be able to make it happen now because this is my circumstance. It's what I designed to have this crazy work living in the city kind of experience.
Well, we were talking about the egos constantly pulling us away and looking at things from a foreign perspective, because we were talking about how easy it is to go to Bed Bath & Beyond and that, oh yeah, I need this and I need that. And really just think about it, stop and go, wait a minute. Do I really need to spend $250 on towels right now?
Yeah, no.
Because it's just junk, as my friend Don would tell me. It's just junk. It doesn't matter what form it is. It's just junk. Like, you think you need it, but you don't really. And, you know, $250 for that stuff could easily go to a credit card payment.
Exactly. It's interesting that she says it's just form, because that's something else I've been playing with, and how all these bodies are just form for anger and hate and the false world and the opposite of love, and how different people in my life that keep showing up, these themes, whether it's mental illness or somehow getting involved in other people's relationships. I don't know. It's just another form of the ego, and I don't want to be taken in by it. I don't want to be at the effect of it. I mean, I feel like I can give it over. I can forgive the illusion, but it's hard. I struggle with trying to stay present to God.
I agree.
You know?
Absolutely. And especially in a work environment, it's very easy to get off track. I have talked before about my slow burn and my issues, you know, my work environment. My company, which is pretty big, just got bought by a much bigger company. So now if I really felt insignificant, it's like times 10. But at work, because I'm around so many people, I keep wanting to put up things like on my walls, course quotes and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I can't. It's like outing me for being spiritual. Outing myself.
Yet if someone probably wanted to have a picture of Jesus or a cross at their desk, and they, because they were Christian, air quotes, they probably would.
That's true, but I don't know if I want to out myself. You know what I mean?
I understand that.
It's not that I'm ashamed of it, but it's very difficult to explain. Yeah. So I was talking to a woman at work, and she was asking me, like, what's the last really good book I read? So I explained the last, you know, I've read a lot of really good books.
Did you bring up Disappearance? Because that's what I would go to.
Yes. Okay. So the first one I brought up was Disappearance of the Universe, and she just kind of looked at me like I was from Mars. And I was like,
it
okay.
Will blow your mind.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so let's talk about something else. Like, you get pretty quickly when people are open to it or not. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was just not happening in this conversation.
Is she religious?
No.
Okay.
I think she was expecting me to say something like a comedy book or something, you know? So whenever I get into that situation, then I always kind of fall back onto Me Talk Pretty One Day, the David Sedaris book, because I still think it's one of the best comedy books I've read.
I love listening to him on NPR for years.
Yeah, he's great.
Seen him at Royce Hall at UCLA.
Oh, well, look at you, name dropper.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, at work, things are definitely changing for the better, but I think they're changing because of me. You know, it's that whole, the lesson and the truth has always been in front of me. It's always been in front of all of us. It's just taking me longer to like process it and own it. Mm-hmm. It's still a lesson to be learned every day. It's easy to fall back into, oh, that guy's a jerk, or he's mean, or you know what I mean?
The judging.
Yeah. And I'll have to stop myself, but it's getting a little better. I'm not saying I'm great at it. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely progressing from where I was this time last year.
That's wonderful.
For sure.
That's really wonderful. It's interesting. It's like you have that little voice that goes and I don't. Mm. And then I have one about, you know, I'm fat, I'm not lovable, and you don't. Mm-hmm. So it's weird how the ego will use
whatever
our minds
works, yeah,
in different ways to keep us separated.
Yeah, work has been one of the biggest ego lessons for me, because it's funny, I've always been smart and really good at what I do and very efficient. And, you know, there could be one person who just can't see that. That would be like a war in my mind. How, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? It's taking a while. I will say that, because the reality is I've spent the Janine lifetime nurturing my damn ego. It's right. Been that long time. I can't expect things to change overnight.
Yeah, I mean, there was something I heard in the audiobook about how the ego uses the body to make us hate our own bodies, to fear love. And it's the whole, I mean, that's what we want is love. Fear, love, light, darkness, illusion, truth. It's like, of course we want love.
Yeah.
Yet I just haven't really done that this time. And, you know, whatever. But it's just weird when you hear the things coming through in the text or the workbook and how it just really hits.
Yeah, and when it hits. Like, there are times, we've talked about this before, I will read the course or I will hear the audio a million times, and one day I just happen to be open to whatever the passage is,
mm-hmm,
that I've heard a million times already. It just didn't sink in. I wasn't ready for it, that kind of thing.
We talked about the second coming a few podcasts ago, and I finally got to that section.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a summary of, it's the correction of mistakes and the return to sanity. The return of sanity.
The
Doesn't that sound delicious?
Sanity. That like, would be lovely.
Just
to, like,
peace.
Be completely sane at work. When I'm home, I'm fine. On the weekends, I'm fine. But it also goes back to, wouldn't it be nice if we could just meditate all the time?
Yeah.
Yes. But I really do think that,
or just own our time.
Yeah. But I think my growth is really coming from the work environment. It's not necessarily
right.
Coming from the weekends when I can, you know, connect with
mm-hmm,
God.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
fantastic. I love it. But mm-hmm. there's still work to be done. And had I not gone into that environment every day, I don't know if I'd be as, not that I'm all that progressed, but I don't know if I'd be as progressed as I am if I didn't have that. So in that case, contrast works for me.
I agree. I mean, that's all we have, because it's this dimension. It's what the ego gives us.
Absolutely. So what's been going on in your work life? Things are pretty good and steady, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy busy. It is stressful. It's long days. I'm just trying to, like, as Cindy was saying, right, you know, fly above the battlefield. I'm just trying to, like, or stay below the radar. Just trying to be chillaxed in the back and not cause a wave. And
well, for our listeners, I don't want to give too much away, but you're working on a film right now. So is a lot of busy kind of activity happening.
Yeah, and there's, you know, producers and directors, and there's a lot of egos, and there's the studio, that's an entity, and what they want.
All its own.
Yeah, I mean, it's juggling coming home, and or even just in the drive home and being able to listen to the course. It's just, it does help wash away the day.
Well, when your movie comes out, we'll talk about it on the podcast, so everyone knows what movie you're working on right now.
Maybe so. Faith, I think, is something I've been also thinking about, and knowing that whenever it is that we do pass over, that it's the faith that's grown in me in this opportunity to be Stephanie, that the faith of HSJ being there when I pass versus some other delusion the ego create out of my false world mind. Like, the fantasy part is kind of what scares me, because I feel like I see so many weird fantasies in my head and my dreams and my waking life, and it just goes on forever. And it just seems like it's so easy that another fantasy could happen. And I don't want that. I want to build that bridge back to God.
I want Jesus to be like, what's taking you so long? We've been waiting here for a while. And I can't wait to show you what's here. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
There was, this instant is the only time there is, lesson 308. This instant
is the only thing there is.
It's the only time there is.
This instant is the only time there is.
Like, if I can reach past time to timelessness, I can change my perception. And in this instant, forgiveness has come to set me free. I get that in the moment, there's love and there's forgiveness, and we know it's one mind projecting all this, and it's been past guilt, ancient guilt, whatever. It's like, I feel like I know it intellectually, but I just am not quite feeling it yet. When things happen and that feeling of adrenaline and fear comes through me, I know, like, instantly I can forgive it, I can turn it over. But the fact that it still comes up, which I'm sure is going to take me a lot of practice probably, I just wish that that would be shifting, that it would just be more natural to be like, it doesn't matter, because my point of view is from God's.
I was rereading, I think it was Gary's third book, and there was a passage from Artin and Persa. I think it was Persa talking about toward the end of their life together. Oh, I think it was Artin who was saying this. Persa had already kind of ascended. She was still in body, but she had already transcended, and he was almost there, but they would teleport. And I love that. Like, they would go to different places and
Back here.
Yeah, because their minds were just free of all the ego stuff. So at that point, they had all the power to do whatever they wanted. And how amazing. Can you imagine? Because they're talking about 100 years in the future in Chicago. But just like normal people like us, just being like, hey, you want to go to Rome? Okay, let's go. But of course, you don't really go anywhere. You just kind of appear.
Yeah. And it's like, why would I even want to go to Rome? Why wouldn't I just say I want to go to heaven?
Well, maybe because it's your last lifetime and you want to just experience third dimension.
Yeah, like we're not fully crossed over yet.
Right.
There's something about the last judgment that's coming up. I'm kind of curious what that's going to be about.
What do you mean the last judgment?
That's one of the next chapters I'm coming into. And that seems like a very Christian kind of thing. Even the second coming, you know, so I'm
Do you have an aversion to that?
Just the Christian connotation that's been drilled into me.
I see.
Which kind of gives me a heebie-jeebie kind of
feel. I kind of don't have an issue with that, really. The only issue I have is the Bible, per se. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of this stuff, I think it's just because I've been around it for so long that it's like, okay, if that's what I'm going to call it, whatever. Like, I love, love, love Joel
Osteen.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I have his podcasts, too. I love him. I just think that he's so genuine, and he just seems really connected and very kind. But he always opens up his broadcast with, like, this is my Bible, you know? And that's the part I don't like very much. I always fast forward through that part. You know, he talks about some of that stuff. And I'm just kind of like, oh, whatever, just move on. But I'm interested to hear. See, you're a little ahead of me on the workbook, so you will tell me if anything exciting happens.
I think it's the unknown. Like, I'm not sure what it is, because it seems like we're being trained to not have judgment.
Yeah.
And yet there's something called the last judgment, which I guess is probably when HSJ says, okay, you're ready, kicks us across.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully. Something else I saw recently about the separation, that it was a decision to not know ourselves. And it's been designed to lead us away from truth and into fantasy.
It just makes you wonder, like, why we hated ourselves so much that we created this mess.
Really?
We were in the bosom of God.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you know, let's go see what else is over here. If I was in the bosom of God, I'm just going to keep sucking on them teats. Right. I'm not going to leave.
Well, it's the orgasmic ecstasy that gets me excited.
You know, why would I want to go someplace else and start this mess? Oh, I just the idea of it.
My friend and I were talking last night because he said after he read DU that the hardest part he had was understanding why we would separate. Mm-hmm. So it kind of discounted the book or something in some weird way, or not all of it, but some of it. We didn't get all that deep into it, but it does seem kind of ridiculous to be in this total ecstasy and then wonder what else is different. But yeah, it happens in such a tiny mad idea split second, because it's all at once, as we always are saying.
I know, but that tiny mad idea created like so pain. Much destruction.
Yeah.
I'm always saying this to my sister. It is really hard to live in third dimension crazy planet. It is just really hard.
It's the design.
Yeah. It's like, I think in Gary's book, he was saying, you can't win. It is what it is. This isn't heaven. We just need to get past this, get back to God. Like, we've said this before. I don't want to come back again. Yeah, I didn't want to come back this time.
And we're going to do everything in our power.
Yeah.
And then that's where I think that my own self-judgment comes in, is like, but I'm still living here in LA, and it, you know, I spend 2 hours or more just driving everywhere, and then I'm at a job for 10 hours, and then I come home, you know, by 8 or 9 o'clock, and I don't eat well, and I want to meditate, but I'm tired and I fall asleep, or, you know, not to like complain, because thank God I'm not married with kids. I mean, I don't know how anyone would ever be able to spend the kind of time to intellectualize and experience and resonate with all this, with all that other stuff going on.
I know. Hugs to all those people, because it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
We could say we're lucky enough to not have that. I don't know if that's luck, but I think
it's design.
I think our choice this time around is to be like, I don't want to be encumbered like that. I know for me, I'm not the best student. So if I had distractions, like, you know, a husband and kids and stuff, I think it'd be so much easier for me to just never go near the course.
And then, you know how people tend to, in their late 50s, maybe, or 60s, 70s, 80s, go more within and start asking questions, because they're not working so hard and they have time to actually ask questions.
They don't have as many distractions in their life.
A little ahead of our time, but
I think we're doing everything as the script has foretold.
It's true. Yes. As the script has been written.
And thank goodness, and thank HSJ for, I guess, allowing us to be in the script right now.
Yeah, because the course came through. I mean, it was about the timing.
All about the timing.
It's like, time is the enemy and time is the friend, in a way, because we are here. Right. And it's through the grace of time that we can get to know this material to remember who we are. Big props to them for that.
I had read that Bill Thetford, I guess on his last day on Third Dimension Planet, he had said something about, hey, I feel good. I feel like I'm done now. I've forgiven everything. And then he had a massive heart attack and died. That's what I want. I want to go, hey, Steph, guess what? I'm done now. I've done all my forgiveness lessons. And then boom.
And then it makes me wonder, like at, you know, 10:10 this evening, if you're sitting here on the couch having a moment with God, you could actually have the heart attack and pass over.
Yeah.
Like, it could happen at any moment. That's right. What I'm kind of like perplexed with. And like, I should be doing more to create more of those moments or something.
But I also think it will happen when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And there's not much we can do about that.
Yeah,
but
like
if it does happen,
you have to live your life.
Let's just say tonight it happens. Uh-huh. You have my door code number, so please feed the cat. She's probably not going to transcend with me. I don't know. Maybe I'll hold on to her. Like, I'm taking you with me.
Well, the animals come with us, right? Because it's
just they're not going to come with you. Well, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
So it seems like almost like, remember we were talking about reverse Big Bang? Like, it's a sucking back into the light or something, where we see all these lifetimes and all these time zones, right, and they just all kind of like disintegrate and come together to that one point when we split. And then maybe Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit, and they're like, okay, you know, we're gonna put light and golden honey all over you, and you're coming with us now.
I want them to say, and here's your Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket. You know, like, that would make me happy.
Because they don't have chicken up there, according to your mom.
Yeah, because my mom has passed away, and she had told my sister, who's, you know, gifted, that she really misses chicken. She really misses eating fried chicken, which is an odd thing.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's fascinating when people hold on to third dimension so hard. Oh, I'm going to fight this disease. I'm going to stay here and do all this kind of stuff, right? Because third dimension is so great.
Well, they don't know any better.
I feel like once we pass, it's just going to be like, oh, God, I'm glad I woke up. That was a horrible dream. Hey, you guys, where you been? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be like, oh, no big deal. Oh, I'm glad I'm home.
Well, I just don't want to end up in that middle world where then we just pop back down into another body.
Yeah, that's not us.
Like, I want to move beyond that.
Here's the thing. If I have a heart attack and die, I'll be over there first. Mm-hmm. And then when you come over, I'm like, get the F out of this middle world because you don't belong here.
Please.
And then I'll pull you into wherever. And
we'll do the same for each
other. My exalted world because I have an ego on me still. They're like, you got to come over here. This is a cooler part.
I also think about extension of love, like the extension of God is maybe coming through that one portal when we separated through the mind and it's radiating out through us. And that if we do the meditation and the atonement, then we can actually have that coming through us in a profound way that maybe we become enlightened, like Parsa or something walking around. Like you said, it wouldn't it be fun to be here and awakened for what's left of here?
I would love that.
I mean, we prefer to just like zip on out immediately, but if we have to be here, we might as well be awake and here.
That would be so great. Be like, whatever, no big deal. Well, we got very existential on this podcast, so I think it's probably time to say adieu. Have a good week or two, Stephanie.
Thank you.
I'm sure that your very, very excellent movie is going to continue to be really excellent and calm, fingers crossed.
Thank you.
And for me, same thing at work. Thank you very much, listeners. It's been a pleasure. We will talk to you soon for the Course of Course episode 32. Bye.